Chapter 9, Working Out the Goodick. With thanks and a quick wave, Robbie set off with George, closing the back grind to hunt them. As they paddled to Robbie's house, they were full of ideas of what it all meant, fairly sure that once they were gotten a good look at the words on the old paper, it would tell them a lot more. They shouted to one another as they could, partly by excitement and partly because they were nobody else to listen into their secret. Ah, the way Robbie was aware of the precious tube tucked down the front of his fleece, hoping it wouldn't fall out by the rod. Afore lang, they went up to the house and set their bikes for next the wa. Robbie could see his folk was in the kitchen with Kirsty just finishing their dinner. As the boys came in through the porch door, Robbie hauled the tube out of his fleece and smoothed it into his rubber boot. George gave a wink and a thumbs up, smeagin'. Robbie's father was rising and reckoning for his cap, ready to hide back outside while he was hawking with something in the shade. "Now then, here's the boys back." Robbie's mother sounded a lot cheerier as she was being when him and Kirsty got home the stream. "Who's do the day, George? Did you get Granny's shade painted then, Robbie?"
"I'm fine, ta," George said there. "Yeah, the shade was looking brally good, couldn't be left, although I thought Robbie wouldn't have managed to let me gain him a hand."
Robbie's mother gave him a sidewise look, gaffing. "No, you didn't," exploded Robbie. "As usual, you turned up when all the work was done." Then he turned to his mother. "Yeah, I got Ecot done, but it needs a bra 20 hours before I can ging over it again, so I'll see what the weather is like the morn."
"That's good. I'm glad you've gotten it half gets done anyway," she said. "No, I'm away to the shop for bread and gear to make sandwiches for the supper dance of the hall tonight. Maybe you would both like to help me clean bread."
She could see with them snarling up their noses that it wasn't their idea of fun and they wouldn't be bothering her. But she had no idea what either they might be doing with their day instead. Robbie and George sat them down a moment at the table. They were in a catate to crack on, and as soon as his mother got out the door and into the car, Robbie turned to Kirsty to tell her the latest news. "Kirsty, don't never guess what I'm finding at Granny's." He repeated the whole story with George chipping in with pity bits that he missed. Kirsty got more and more excited as the story spilled out. "Wow," she said when they finished telling her. "That's amazing. What did the piece of paper here have upon it?" "Here to the porch." Robbie was already on his way to get it for where he was hiding it within his boot. "Come on, you twa. Let's take it up to my room and try and make some sense of it." George and Kirsty started off up the stair, Robbie no far ahead them, spanging twa stairs at a time. In his room, he had a muckle desk covered in broil. He shooled the lock up to each side to make a bit of space.
"This feels like Christmas," Kirsty said, as Robbie slid the rolled up paper pity-wise out of the tube and set it down up at the desk. Their three heads gathered in a boot to get a closer look at it. It was the best light that was been upon it, and Robbie read out loud what it said. "I cannot believe that any of our relations wrapped this so long ago," Kirsty said, fairly mesmerised. "But what does it mean?"
"I'm no sure exactly," her brother said, "but we had to find out, and afore you're mine, for I doubt we're all looking for the same thing now." They read the lines again and again and spake about what they thought it meant. Kirsty would suggest something and the boys would say, "Nah, nah." Then either the boys would think it meant something either and Kirsty would point out that that didn't make sense.
"Okay, so this is what we can say far," said Robbie. "We came that Archie Hunter found something in yon shipwreck and the laird wanted it, whatever it was. But Archie had it hoided away somewhere." "That makes sense with the first twa lines," he said, pointing at them. "And he's written this in case somebody either fan it, said they would ken where it was."
"That's whiz," said George.
"Say we need to put our heads together and work out what this poem is telling whiz," Robbie got on, staring at the lines even after reading them so many times. He got over the third and fourth line with his finger, reading out loud. "For it stowed away safe, writing under the laird's nose, atween his grit ha and where the dew goes." "That's the important bit. Tell him where he's hoided this thing, but where do you think he could have stowed it away safe and under the laird's nose? In his house? But then it says it's atween his grit ha, that's the ha we were in, and where the dew goes. What does that bit mean? Where the fin out?"
"I think a dew was another name for a pigeon," Kirsty said, pointing with her finger at the word about the paper.
"That's right, Kirsty," said George. "I'm heard Dad speaking about them afore, and what's that got to do with the laird, and far does the Doon ging?
Come on, we had to work this out. We need a map. That might help us. Robbie spake again, still staring at the paper. Kirsty, do ken your muckle old map we hae? Isn't it downstairs at the sitting room bookcase? Ging and get it, we do, and we'll see if there's anything upon it that'll help us. Kirsty wasn't again to be passed about. Why do I hae the ging for it? Do ken where it is ging to sell? Robbie just gave her a look, a big brother look, and with a turn, she turned and nipped it on the stairs, leaving the boys looking at the poem. See this here, George said, reading the bit about the goodock in the cellar. Could they be twa things as he's hidden away? Sam left them a goodock to see where it's at. No, he canna evict us and say I'm at fat. If he gangs in the cellar, he'll fin it in there, and should he never look, heath, I didna care. Robbie was taught that at first too, but after reading again, he saw what this bit meant. Nah, see, it's the goodock, the riddle, that he's putting in the cellar for the laird to fin. Hey, that must be what the twa men was looking for. No, that bit a makes sense. I wonder if we they ken there was something there. Kirsty came back of the room, setting the folded map down up at the desk next to the poem. Thanks, Kirsty, Robbie said, starting to unfold it. No, let us see. With a bit of scruffling, he got the map laid out flat with a bit with their vow up in it right in the middle. George hauled the poem out for and under it and set it down, said they could read it and look at the places at the same time. The map was brawly old with a lot of detail upon it. Robbie traced his finger over the map, pointed and said, here's where hoose and here's Grista and the hooses on it. I bet they were fought biting in them when this map was made. He carried on moving his finger over Grista and over the vow on the other side of it. And here's the ha. Look, it even says it up on the map. We came where the ha is, Robbie. We were there yesterday, said George. What more can it tell us? Kirsty was first to spot a clue. See here, the lock of caves marked along the banks, and this one is called the Doos Cave. Thank you. Could that be what it means in the poem? Robbie saw where her finger was pointing. The letters was A written squint, but that's definitely what it said, he thought. Yeah, it must be. Yon man be what it means be atween his grit ha and where the Doon goes. Well done thee, Kirsty. We're getting there. Excitement was clear in his voice as he spake. So, according to the poem, there's something between the ha and this cave. Would you agree with that? But what could it be? They couldn't seem to be muggle here afar. Look here, what's this along, just along for the ha, near the banks? George was seeing something, but couldn't make it out. It looks like three letters. I-W-R, it's awful faded. Here, look. He stood back but kept his finger up on the mark to let Robbie and Kirsty see it. Oh yeah, Robbie said, I see what that means. I-W-R. No way, I think it's a T. T-W-R. What does that mean? Tower, Kirsty said right away, like she can't hang. She looked as surprised as the other twa. It could be a tower. George and Robbie both looked at one another, thinking the same thing and afore saying at the same time, watch tower. That's it, Robbie said. I mind reading a star to go to the lairds use the hay tours bigot to watch the local fishing fleets to make sure they landed the catch at their piers, so that they would get the money for it. This must be it. And wait, hey, that's what it tells us in the poem. He pointed at the next line. For the place that he watches his ain fishing fleet, faith if only he can't put this under his feet. That has to be the tour. They could hardly contain their excitement as they worked out more and more of what was written upon a bit of paper, but there were still things that didn't make sense. Okay, Robbie said, looking at George and Kirsty. So far, do you agree this thing, whatever it is surely hidden some way between here, he said, stabbing a finger up at the ha, and here, putting another finger up at the Doon's cave. We came that this watchtower has something to do with it too, but it might be lying in Brook now. Or we would have seen it before. But what does it mean when it says about it being under the laird's nose and under his feet? I kinda work that bit out of va. George looked at Kirsty and Robbie then back down at the map. Well, he said, there's only one way to find out. We gang and look for it, right now. The three of them looked at one another. Their faces were a picture. They were all beaming from lug to lug. "'Right, George,' Robbie said, "'to the ha we had to go.'
He folded the map in half and covered up the poem. With their spirits high, they rumbled on the stair into the empty kitchen to get a drink of juice, gaffing and funning as they could. They kent there were naebody in the house, so they set them at the table and spak about what they would need to do and how the things they would need to tak with them. It was going to be a braid venture. "Okay, what are we going to need?" Robbie asked. He handed a piece of paper and a bind to Kirsty and asked her if she would make a list. "Blinkies. Some rope in case we need it. Warm clays. Ribber boots. Maybe a flask too. Anything, either?" "What about the map?" Kirsty wondered. "We dunno really kind on place that will, and it might be handy to hae." Robbie said. "I dunno kind it's brally old, but we dunno hae on either end. And we hae nae wire copying it. Say, yeah, I agree, but we'll hae to look after it." "What about the poem?" George asked. "We'll never get it memorised, we might need to look at it. Or we could write it down and tack it with us. That would be better." "I'll make a copy of it," Kirsty said, blithe to be a help. "When are we going to head after the ha?" "Well," Robbie said, "yon's nearly 5 o'clock now. Had likely tack was missed a hour to gather all the stuff we need and another hour to get there with the bikes, say. If we left here about 6, we'd bit the ha about 7. Robbie good to rise for the table, but Danny sat him down again with a serious look upon his face. "Oh no," he said, "I forgot. The dance in the hall tonight. We'll never get away. What are we going to do? Mama Mac was going to it." He put his head in his hands and shook it slowly. "Nah, surely no," George said. "Or she no let you off this once?" "I wouldn't think it," said Robbie. "She said afore no it were all going to it. I canna see her changing her mind, but we can aye ax." "Oh, dus right, Robbie," George said, looking vexed too. "Mam says I hae the gang tae this will. She'll be turn if I dinna turn up. She'll kain him up to something. This is a disaster." "I canna believe this. After our plans, a stupid dance is going to hinder us." Robbie held his head out of his hands and looked at the other twa. "There's nothing else for it. We'll hae to sneak away for the dance. We'll turn up for a hour or say to shower there. Then when it gets busy, we'll sneak out, gang to the ha and be back afore the last dance. We'll put a lock till he clear not to do." George looked as excited as Robbie about it. It was one thing gam to the ha, but the idea of sneaking away added to the sense of adventure. Kirsty didn't look so amused though. "Kane, Robbie, we'll get in that muckle butter if we get catched. And they'll surely notice afore lang that we're not there. What would happen then?" She looked brawly worried. "Well, the worst of the folk will do is ground us again, and I can put up with that if we find out whatever it is that Ergie Hunter hoided the way under." Robbie looked determined. "Look, if young men is after the same thing as we, and I cannot think what else it can be, then we only hae one shot at this, and it has to be the night, for if we begin about it. Do you twa agree?" George nodded his head, and then, slowly, Kirsty did an ah. Although she didn't want to get into bother with her folk, she kent Robbie was right. This was their one chance to find out what it was a' about. "We can aye ax," said Robbie, "but if she says no, then there's nae point pushing it. She'll kind her up to something. If that's the answer, then we'll just hae to gang with our first idea and sneak away for the dance later." No lang after that, they heard the car drawing up outside and stopping, the dunt of the driver's door shutting and the boot opening. Kirsty got out the gear with her hand to tack in the errands, and Robbie nipped up the stair with a list and patted in his room, said that nae questions would get asked. By the time he was back down, Kirsty and her mother were setting the bags down on the worktop. "Noo, bairns, I hope you'll a' be fand and litter. We're made of a most solemn heap of sandwiches and gear for the supper the night. I'm thinking we'll just hae a pity tea afore we ging down the road to the hall. What think you to that?" She was turning to see the three of them at the table as she washed her hands at the kitchen sink. Kirsty and Robbie quickly looked at the wife at one another. "Well, ma'am," Robbie began, "we were thinking we wouldn't care about going to the dance tonight." He wondered what else to say, but nothing came into his mind. "Uh-huh," said her mother, shilling a bag of errands out of the gate, "and what would you be get up to instead? You're no lying at the house on your own. But why do you no want to go to the dance?" Robbie was the spokesman, kenning just how far he could chance it. "Well, it's that a fine night. We would rather just cycle about the place. We don't fancy getting hauled up to dance with somebody's granny." George gave a pity pister and got a dig in at Robbie. "Is that the only lasses that want to dance with thee?" he said. Robbie just looked at them. Dinna be silly bairns, come you to the dance. You can cycle to your heart's content on either night. There are whole 6 weeks of holidays left. Come you, you'll maybe learn to add a new dance as while you're there. She gave the sink a dicht as she spoke. Robbie nodded to the other twa, indicating the door, and the three of them headed out to the kitchen and up the stair. As he could throw the door, Robbie said, "All right, ma'am, we just thought it would be fine to be outside with the fine weather." "Okay, we'll mak what NY done. What time does it start?" 8 o'clock, came the reply, "but you can come down earlier, for there's plenty of help needed." Once they were all back in Robbie's room, he laid the door to and turned to Jordan Kirsty. "Say, what new dances has you began to learn, Robbie? The old fox two-step?" "Ha ha," George just couldn't help himself. "Oh, well, that was worth a try," Robbie said. "It was obvious Mam was going to say no, so there were no point pushing it, for then she would just wonder why we were that keen not again. So sneaking away at this, I doubt that's the only way we can do it. Quite thank you." Again, George and Kirsty nodded, Kirsty seeming a pretty bit more enthusiastic now that it was only the only option, and she was as keen as the boys to find out what was going on. George was looking at the map again, and the poem that Kirsty was copying out on the bit of paper. "So we're going to hear braw grain of garrows, mit and clays and that, before we can to get that down to the hall and hide it away until we set off." "That's right, George, I never thought of that. We'll have to find some way of getting it down the road without being seen." He was thinking long and hard and didn't really hear Kirsty saying that she wasn't going to carry anything upon her bike, for she didn't want to fall off and miracle herself, especially there were a chance that they might have to make a quick escape for the young man. Robbie didn't hear her because he was just come up with another idea. "We'll tack the boat," he said to them. "The dunter'll get us there."